Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is written in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter, beginning with the second half of verse 20. We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, at a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Look, now is the favorable time. See, now is the day of salvation. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, the season of Lent is upon us. We once again prepare ourselves to view the cross, to watch Christ once again die for us. He has done it all for our salvation. But there are those who say he didn't do enough. They say we have to help it along. We have to also do good works because he didn't do it all for us. That could also have been the case in Corinth. As they were surrounded by worshiping idols where works were so important, some of these members were now beginning to wonder, did he do it all? Or do we have to do also things to make it sure? So Paul emphasized the work of Christ and our reaction. This evening, then, we emphasize, hear Paul's urgent call. A call to reconciliation. We urge you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, place yourselves completely in God's hands. Don't think you have anything to do with your salvation. Rather, believe what Christ has done. Believe that he came onto this earth for 33 years as a human being, but also as true God. As a human being, he therefore was under his Father's laws, laws which our Father in heaven said, you must obey perfectly if you are to be my people and I am to be your God. But we can't. But God still demanded it. So Christ came and said, I'll do it for you. And he did. For 33 years, he lived a perfect life. And now he says, because of that perfect life, I give you that robe of perfection to wear when you appear before my Father. And when he looks at you, he won't see your sins. You'll see my perfection. He came to die. In the Old Testament, God told the people of Israel, offer up a lamb to atone for your sins. But it didn't succeed. If it had, they would have only done it once. But they did it over and over again. But you see, it had a big purpose. It pointed to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And that was Jesus. And so as we begin Lent tonight, we again look ahead to the cross when Christ died to pay for our sins. Paul says to the people in Corinth and to us, Christ did it all. Don't think you have to participate also in doing extra things to gain his Father's and our Father's merit or confidence. He says, be reconciled to God. Accept the fact that he is your Savior and he is the only way to heaven. And he did it all. It's enough. You don't have to do anything on your own. Hear Paul's urgent call, a call signed in blood. God made him who did not know sin to become sin for us. As I said, Jesus was sinless. But when he was nailed to that cross, on his shoulders were the sins of all people of all time. Yes, Jesus, the God-man, the Son of God, became sin for us so he could do away with that sin. I often use the picture of Easter Sunday. Jesus came out of the tomb, right? When he went into the tomb, he had still had those sins on him that he paid the price for. But when he left the tomb, the sin stayed behind. No longer around, buried, gone forever. That's one picture that I've heard used to describe the fact that God no longer sees our sins because Jesus took care of that with the shedding of his blood. The result for us, we are now righteous in his sight, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Can you please God? Yes, you can. Not by yourself, but through the work of the Holy Spirit who brought you to faith, who keeps you in the faith, and enables you to do things that are pleasing to God. I often quote this statement of what is going to be said to us on Judgment Day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the home that I have prepared for you. Well done. You have conducted yourselves as children of God. You are now righteous in God's sight because of what Christ has done for you and because of what the Holy Spirit has enabled you to do. James says faith without works is dead. So we do works. Not to gain favor with God, but to thank God for what he's done for us. I know one time my dad came to me and he said, thank you for going down in the basement and sweeping up all of that sawdust. He was a carpenter. He made cabinets and he did it in the basement of the house. One evening I decided I'm going to help him, and I did that. He said, what can I do for you? I said, just saying thank you, that was enough. We say the same thing to God, don't we? We look at what he's done for us and we say to God, now what can we do for you to show us how, to show you how thankful we are? He says, obey my commandments. Follow my way. Honor me in everything you say, think, and do, because you are now children of God. You know, we live in a world where so many people like to procrastinate. That's a big word, isn't it? Put off till tomorrow what you should do today. How's that sound? I think even the kids can understand that. We do that, don't we? As fellow workers, we also urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, at a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. Look, now is the favorable time. You're children of God. Place yourselves in God's hands. Now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. I have a funeral tomorrow morning. It's a tragic one, because a young lady all of a sudden died. You see, that could happen to any of us. And when that happens, our time is up. So Paul was saying to his members in Corinth, always be prepared. Jesus has paid the price for your sins. The Holy Spirit has made you a child of God. Show it in your faith and in your actions. Believe that God sent his son to take care of your spiritual needs, because he did. He lived that perfect life for you. He paid for your sins with his death on the cross. He overcame death and the devil with his resurrection. He's done all of that for you. And now the Lord says, believe it. And don't put that off till tomorrow. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. That was Paul's urgent call. Because you see, the people in Corinth were putting things off. They thought, it's not that important to behave as Christians right now. We can eat, drink, and be merry and have fun and go back. Ever hear of a person who is on church every Sunday, but the rest of the week you would never know he came to church? They're around. They believe I can be a Christian on Sunday, but the rest of the week I can do what I want to do. That's not what Paul's urgent call is. He says, every day of the week, be ready for the Lord's return. Every day of the week, place yourselves in God's hands, trusting that he will take care of you. Every day of the week, believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And every day of the week, look with joy to the future, knowing that one day the Lord will return to take you to live with him in glory. That's what Paul wanted the congregation in Corinth to do. That's why the urgent call, be ready now, believe, salvation will be yours. Believe, and heaven will be your home. Amen.